Lucky here. It's the Pat and JT podcast.
Pat and JT podcast.
I can hear, like, you know, when I'm at home, I can hear the softest of noises. Like, I'm one of those people, though. Are we starting?
We are.
Okay. So I'm one of those people that small noises drives me crazy.
Sure.
Those, what's it called? Misophonia?
Misophonia.
No, I think is what it's
called.
That's
not small noises. That's like the chewing.
That's like
and
breathing, chewing.
wow.
You know, like when you're just sitting there and you hear somebody.
Yeah.
Mouth breathing, right. Like my dog or something. I can hear more.
Or the crunching of ice.
Yes.
Oh, that's just more of an annoyance than a.
I was going to say, it's not necessarily that you're hearing things that other people aren't. You just don't like it.
There's some sounds I just don't like to hear, but I hear them really well.
Right.
That's what
and there are videos on YouTube. God, what's it called? I need to text my son. It's a specific thing. It's like EHM or something where it's people record videos of like cats licking water or people doing like that because people like listening to that stuff.
There are people that like it.
There are hundreds of thousands of views. Yeah.
By the way, welcome to the show, Dr. Lance Kugler.
Hi, Dr. Kugler.
Thank you.
Kugler Vision. Never thought we'd be talking about this today.
Now I have to admit, Dr. Kugler, when you're
in the wrong sense here.
I've never met you in person, heard about you, known about Kugler Vision forever. And when you're walking up the hallway, I thought you were an intern. I was thinking if you were like in your 60s.
Oh,
honestly, I really had no clue. I walked like, Dr. Kugler? And you're like, yeah, I expect you to say, no, I'm his assistant. He'll be right up in a second.
No, it's me. Yeah.
That's awesome. You should know him by now because you should have had your consultation.
I know, Thursday.
Thursday?
Coming in Thursday. All right. Looking forward to it.
Yes.
And my vision, maybe if my vision was perfect, I would recognize the fact that would be you from your website.
Right.
Hashtag see Omaha.
There you go, right?
Right.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, he hasn't been in yet.
Right.
So he hasn't seen the facility.
Oh, great. Okay.
So Thursday. How long have you guys been open out there?
So we've been at this new location since, it'll be 2 years in August. Yeah,
wow.
Believe
it or
not. It
seems like it was just last year.
I know. We still feel like we're moving in. I mean, we're still kind of optimizing it.
You know? Awesome. It is so cool and it's so comfortable because it doesn't feel like you're in a doctor's office.
Yeah, the idea was to feel more like a spa, you know, more comfortable and it's what it should be, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of what we're going for with the ambiance.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. So back to these videos, Pat.
I don't know what they're called. And my son's sleeping. Otherwise, I would text him. But the other, like, videos on YouTube of, it's the weirdest things, man, of people making certain noises that some people think are soothing. Other people, like, you know, have think it's annoying. But the cat's licking. It's like the clicking of pens.
Clicking of pens. Oh my God.
Click, click, click. I'm a clicker.
All the time. It's like, I can hear him from the other end of the building. Pat, put down the pen.
I know. It's a nervous habit.
Did you ever have those fidget spinners when those were a thing?
Yes. Uh-huh. I actually have one in my car.
How about a fidget cube?
Have a fidget cube? Yeah. I didn't have one. My daughter had one.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't like it. Yeah. And the clickies.
All the different things you could do. Yeah. That fad didn't last long.
Yeah. It didn't.
No. I have a.
My kids had them, and then they were
the
gone.
The spinner. Yeah, I have one in my car. It looks like Batman.
Yeah, it's a cool one.
A Batman fidget spinner.
Fidget spinner. Yeah. Okay. Yes, I do. Cool. I do. Have
I've got
that.
This little thing in my. And I don't know. You're an eye doctor, so you can't help me with this. But inside my lip, I have a. I bit. Not
like
bit,
a canker
but I,
sore?
No, it's when I, a long time ago, probably 10 years ago, I smashed my mouth into the headboard of my son's bed, like wrestling with him.
Ooh.
And my tooth went almost all the way through. I'm okay now, though. But there's a, it's like scar tissue in there. So I play with it constantly. If you see me doing this, it's because I'm playing with that ball of scar tissue. I just want to bite it out. It drives me, but I can't not do it.
Right.
It's one of those things, you know? It
drives me nuts.
You're right. I got nothing for you on that.
Can't help me with that?
No, not at all.
You can do that all day because that doesn't bother me.
You can't see me doing this?
Can't see it, and I can't hear it either.
Really?
So I'm fine.
I can hear it. It's going.
You should make a video of that and play it.
Really?
There might be people that like that.
Monetize that, baby.
I'll tag Kugler Vision.
That's right. That's right.
Done. Writing that on my notes.
That's awesome. That'll be perfect. Oh my gosh. All right. So what is going on in the world after this weekend?
What did you do this weekend, Dr. Kugler?
So I'm actually out of town every weekend between May 2nd and July 15th, except this weekend. It's not exciting things really. It's my kids are involved in a lot of activities and sports. And so, you know, we tend to do a lot of traveling. This time of year, there's a lot of tennis and a lot of track, which is what three of my kids are into right now. So there's a lot of those going on. And so this weekend I was actually home.
Nice.
It's a rarity,
which,
right?
Yeah,
right?
Which was nice. Kinda so nice. It wasn't very exciting. I got caught up on a lot of things at home that I needed to be doing. So was it nice.
This weekend was like a year in a day. It was like the hottest day of summer yes. on Saturday, mm-hmm. and then Sunday was it smelled like fall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't it crazy?
Yeah, it was crazy.
It was, I walked out yesterday morning. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Yeah.
It was cold.
It felt good.
Yeah, it felt great.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Yeah, it went awesome. To breakfast with mom and dad and had to grab a jacket. Yeah. I get there, my mom's in a coat.
Yeah, it was chilly.
But it was early, but it was chilly. They both had their jackets with everybody else had a jacket with them too. And I'm like, this is June.
Yeah, I love it.
Somebody posted on Facebook too, didn't think I'd need a stocking cap today. He was out working in the yard and he's right. bald and he had a stocking cap
on. It
was
chilly.
June. Yeah,
well, it was right. 90 degrees, you know, 12 hours early.
Yes.
Almost. Yeah, it was mm-hmm. it was unusual.
Really crazy.
So are tennis parents as crazy as soccer, baseball, football parents?
Well,
you think more that, like those
more
like,
reserved
golf,
and refined?
Tennis, yeah, they seem yes. more respectful parents, more respectful yeah, fans.
Quieter. Well, let me tell you, I've thought about this a lot because I have five kids and we've been involved in just about every sport that you can be involved with. And I'll tell you, there's a difference between the team sports and the individual sports. So my daughter's a swimmer, mm-hmm. right? So that's individual sport. You know, there's not a lot of drama and not a lot of argument between parents because it's all based on how fast your kid is. The yeah. time, mm-hmm. you can't argue with the time.
Right.
It's like, you can argue all you want about who should be swimming, you know, what stroke or whatever, but if your kid is 0.3 seconds faster than mine,
that's a good point.
Who's going to argue about
there's
it?
There's no right? contact.
Right. So right? there's not so. As much, there's not as much argument with it. Tennis is that way too, because it's an individual sport and there's not a lot of argument. You look at the results of the matches and it, you know, the rankings are what they are.
Right.
You can get some drama during a match. Like,
what do you call the officials? Are they the judges?
Referees.
Referees.
Yeah.
That are sometimes.
And officials.
Some of the officials.
Here's the thing about tennis.
Okay.
There is no referee or official during the match that's actively watching the match. So the kids are making their own calls.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Wow.
Right.
Wow. So on your own.
Right. You don't get an official referee active until very high level tennis, you know.
I didn't know that.
Because yeah. even yeah. volleyball, you have somebody right there on
every
the
every other sport you can think of, there's, you know, little,
officials.
I mean, but T-ball, when you're 5 years old, there's an umpire, right?
Right.
So,
which is ridiculous, by the way.
Yes.
I'm just saying. That's going on record.
That's for the parents.
Yeah,
keep them at bay. Right?
Yeah.
Right. But tennis is the kids are on their own making the calls, and so
wow.
which can generate some arguments. but there's also like a very hard and fast rule that parents are not, no one's allowed to coach or talk to the players during a tennis match.
Okay. We just saw that happen at the highest level not
yes.
too long ago with Serena Williams.
Exactly. So
right? That they
yes.
were coaching from the stands. And it was like...
Not allowed.
Not allowed.
It's not allowed.
Right.
So tennis is like the kids are on wow. their own. They have to figure out the score on their own. If they disagree on the score, the parents can't like correct them.
I wrote it down over here.
Yeah.
No.
That's not
wow.
valid.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's really unique. And
I like that though, because like in golf, you have to keep track of your own
yeah,
score.
Yeah, golf is similar. Yes.
You're responsible for...
So Tiger's really writing down his own score.
They have to.
Can the caddy do it or does Tiger have to do it?
I think he has to do it, and then he has to sign off. At least he has to sign off on it, and I would rather write it myself
yeah.
than rely on someone
yeah,
else.
I mean, when you get to the, you know, the PGA level, I think there's, you know, there's officials throughout the golfing. But when you're younger, the kids are making their own
yeah.
calls and their own penalties and everything. So the individual sports...
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. So you don't have as much of the active drama, for sure, because the parents aren't really
right.
involved, and there's no argument over who should be playing and who shouldn't because it's an individual sport.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. So there's pros and cons.
I can see it. I was always drawn because I showed horses growing up, so I liked it was kind of like an individual sport, but not because the parents were really active as well. I'm just thinking back about that. It's like, yeah, because there were some parents
yeah.
that
yeah.
would get right up there on the rail and they were yelling at this and that. And when I judged for many years too, and I would have parents in my ear on the other side of the fence
yeah.
telling me, you know, you don't know what that horse did last week, or that horse was number one at nationals over here, or this. And I'm like, I'm going over here. I'm like, just leave me alone.
I loved that stuff though when
or
I was playing.
Or go sit down.
I loved that stuff. I did. I loved being on a basketball court and getting just screaming and parents yelling at the official
the team,
and coaches screaming.
Stuff. Well, yeah.
Yeah, I loved it.
At you?
I didn't play individual
okay.
stuff. Probably. Probably. My coach was yelling at me. I don't know if the parents were yelling at me.
Well,
I stuff fired me up.
A few years ago, my son was playing baseball and his game was delayed by like half an hour, And we got there, and I figured it was because of weather or something, but we got there, and it was because the game before us, a fight had broken out between parents, and the police were there.
Jeez.
And, you know, there was actually an altercation.
That is crazy.
And this was nine-year-old baseball. He was 9 years old at the time.
Oh, my God.
So, it tends to bring out our worst tendencies, I think.
Wouldn't you hate to be, I mean, you're that parent, or you're with that parent. Oh, that family, no. And the police get called.
That would be awful. Yeah. Or the kid and your dad is up there starting to fight, right. Or your mom and moms, or whatever it was. That would be terribly embarrassing.
Right.
I can't think of any sport where the parents were that rambunctious that the kids were like, "You got it, Dad. Thanks.
Right.
Thanks, Dad.
Right.
Way to go. Get on him, Dad." You know, usually the kids are like, "Oh my God, we're just making it go away." Please make it go away.
But don't you think it's gotten so much worse than like when we were kids? I mean, I just don't remember that. Maybe I was just unaware of it.
I think it's gotten, I don't know if it's gotten worse, but we see it more because of social media. I'm 45, and I remember playing 12, 9, 10, 11, all the way up through high school.
Yeah, sure.
And always having the parents jawing at the officials, and it was never, there was never a mean side of it. Like, it was never, as soon as the game was over, it was over. It never spilled over into the crowd.
Do you think
it never,
it's because it's more competitive? I mean, because a lot of these kids play, they don't play school. A lot of them are trying to get on the elite clubs and play on those teams because there's the high competition level.
Mm-hmm. It used to be you could play just rec baseball, for example, and you could just play. You'd have like one practice a week, and you'd play a game or two on the weekend, and that was the season.
Yep.
And it was fun. And that, you know, I was a terrible baseball player, but I played on a team where there was a kid on my team that ended up playing professional baseball. So we were all on the same team because we just happened to be in the same neighborhood.
Right.
Right. Well, nowadays that doesn't happen. You know, that kid would have been on a AAA elite team, and I would have been on a single A scrub team. But whatever the case may be, I think now the stakes feel so high. It's like, oh, you got to get to this next level. You got to get to this next team.
And it's so expensive.
Yeah. And it's so, invested so much money in it. Facilities, you're playing 40 in time. You're investing 45, 50 games a season.
Unbelievable.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you're right. Like that much time, that much money. And then you look and you think your kid's not getting a fair shake. I suppose it would fire you up.
It would. I think it would, because at that point you're thinking, why did you even let my kid on the team if you're not going to let him play?
Right.
And then they're getting mad.
Yeah, and then at the end of the season, it's like they sort of divide up the teams again, and the kids are reassessed and reassigned. And so it's like there's this constant thing that everybody's shooting for. And so I think that all brings out emotions that maybe weren't there.
Way more competitive.
Yeah, it's just more competitive in general.
Jeez. And there's always little shooters of alcohol in the outhouses at those court. Remember, we talked about this before.
I know, we
Every single time I go into the
ballpark,
outhouse, there's always
in
there, there's little shooters, Fireball, there's vodka. So these parents are getting juiced.
They're numbing themselves.
They're one of the two. Right. They're either getting fired up or they're trying to take the edge off.
Maybe. Right.
I don't know which one it is.
Yeah. Man, that doesn't help. Or maybe it does help. Maybe it'd be a lot worse if they didn't do that.
I don't remember years ago. I don't remember every gas station carrying those. I mean, it was a shock to me when they started selling individual cans of beer.
Yeah.
And you'd have bottles of liquor. But then when they started shooting the little shooters, now they have like this bucket of them next to the cash register when you're checking out at IV.
Right.
You just like scoop a handful.
It used to be the only place you saw those were hotel rooms and airplanes.
True.
Exactly.
That is very
That's
true.
It. Yeah.
Exactly. And you always wanted to get a hold of it. It's like, oh, I wish I could get a hold of some of those. You couldn't. They weren't marketed.
And you see people that are at, you know, like IV gas or whatever, and they grab, give me two of the kinkies, and they take two of them. Like, those aren't even making it to the road.
Nope.
You're not taking those home.
Pouring it in the Yeti.
And then they go, "Do you guys have a bathroom? There's a big sign. I know what you're going to do in that bathroom. You're going to go pound those shooters, dude.
Couple of pink kinkies.
I mean, come on. You're not being caught dead with some pink kinkies, Randy.
Nope. That's funny. Oh, my God. Holy. So how old are your kids? Or just
the
range?
16, 14, 12, 12, and 9.
Wow, wow, wow. Oh, my goodness.
12, 12 is in twins?
Yeah. Yeah, we had a set of twins in there.
Got it.
Oh,
we should all be twins, by the way.
Should we?
Yes.
What's your reasoning?
They just have it the best. I mean, from day one, they've got a partner.
Yeah.
You know, never
in
bored.
Crime.
Always somebody to do something with. They learn how to share at a very, very young age.
Interesting.
So I just think they have a great
life.
So
watching the other kids, the older kids grow up first, or, you know, going through those 4 years without them, then you had the twins. You see the difference.
You see the difference.
Major difference. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. Like a little gang of two.
Yeah.
Against everybody. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it kind of them against the rest of them?
A little bit. I mean, they sort of have a little, probably a bond that you can't have you know, mm-hmm. otherwise.
I remember in school, we had like, and I was in a small town in Ashland, and the year that, in the years in high school, we had like six or seven sets of twins.
Jeez.
It was crazy.
Wow.
Both fraternal and identical. But there were twins everywhere. I mean, in my class, I can think of three pairs, four.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Small town like that. I don't know if they were all homegrown. I think they all were. In the water. I'm not sure. I was on the south side of town, though. Wrong side of the tracks.
Right.
So. Probably was.
Are yours identical? Fraternal.
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 Okay. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I
don't know many sets of twins, but the one of the sets that I do know are identical, and it's almost impossible
crazy,
to tell
right?
them apart. Yeah.
Right.
It's
yeah.
crazy.
Right. Yeah.
That's got to be weird for them. I would think, since yours are fraternal, not, but yeah. for ones that are identical, they grew up with it. It's not that big of a deal, I guess. But
I think that'd be
well,
awesome.
It's funny about ours is they couldn't look more different. I mean, you would hardly even know they're brothers. They look that different, but at least in my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But people will get them confused all the time because they think they look the same.
Isn't that
so
something?
So it's really funny. Yeah,
that's something.
Yeah. Huh. But they don't look alike at all. To
as
my
far
eyes.
As you're concerned,
yeah,
very different personalities.
Yeah, very different. Very different interests, personalities, hobbies, things like
yeah.
that. You know, kind of different friends, everything.
Isn't that crazy?
So yeah. with one of your kids, 16, right? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So getting ready to start thinking about ACTs and college and all
yeah,
that kind
so
of stuff.
Yeah, so she's going to be a junior. Okay. So we're kind of starting that whole process now, which is kind of mind-blowing that we're at that stage. But
I saw
are.
The signs. You know, it's funny to see the yard signs. It's like ACT, SAT yeah. prep
yes.
here. You know, and it's like, God, I don't remember them doing that when I was a kid.
Well, that's another thing that's changed. I mean, now, like, you yeah. know, everyone takes an ACT prep thing. I mean, I remember I just kind of went in on a Saturday and took it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that was
exactly.
Just, what was your score?
Yo, I don't even remember anymore.
Yeah. Mine was a 17.
My daughter was asking me, and I honestly don't remember.
Yeah,
because that just kind of tells you how important it was.
Right, it doesn't matter.
Well, didn't, at the time, it was just, I didn't even know what the consequences were of it. Really, it was like, well, you got to take the seat and go to college. And it's like, well, I wasn't really planning.
Right, after that.
I'm going to go to college.
Never been brought up since.
I'm going to college, and then I got just enough that I got a scholarship for a year
nice.
To go to college. So I'm going to college, and I found out I was not ready for college. And
right. An ACT score does not a college student make.
Nope, right. It does not.
It does a scholarship.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so I was not ready for that, but...
Yeah, the prep stuff wouldn't help me anyway, though, because that's like if you're going to prep for it, are you prepping because it's a specific skill in taking that test or to refresh everything that's going to be on that test?
Taking the test.
It's the former, I think. It's the skill of taking the test. And so I get on a soapbox about this sometimes, but I think that... In our current academic world, what we measure over and over and over again is somebody's ability to take a multiple choice test. Okay. And we're not measuring their ability to right. be successful in the world or contribute to society or, you know, whatever it really takes to be part of this world. We're not measuring that. We're measuring the ability to take a multiple choice test.
And that determines what school you get into, possibly.
Yes.
If you get into school.
Yeah, that's scary putting it that way.
Right?
If you think about like my world with medicine, I mean, think about what we did. So we all had to take the ACT, SAT, and then to get into med school, you take the MCAT, and then you get into med school, and then you take all of our tests in med school are multiple choice. So those tests are all multiple choice. And then you take the boards. There's three steps to the board. Step one, two, and three, multiple choice test, multiple choice test, multiple choice test. Right. And then we did our specialty, you know, in my case, ophthalmology, and there's the boards for ophthalmology, which is, another multiple choice test.
Do you think the multiple choice is done because of efficiency?
Absolutely.
And I mean, that's the only reason, because nobody wants to sit there and actually test your education, your knowledge.
It goes back to around World War II. They when people were coming back from the service, they needed a rapid way to assess people, to put them into colleges and everything that they were trying to do. And they invented the, I might have the dates wrong, I can't remember World War I or World War II,
right.
but it was earlier in the early 1900s, mid-1900s, right. they came up with the Scantron technology as a mm-hmm. rapid way of just assessing things quickly. And so that was what started the whole multiple choice
wow.
thing. And then the guy who actually, the educator who actually invented the Scantron later came back and said, this was never designed to be the standard. This was just a quick fix.
For a temporary problem.
Right.
We're going to take care of this real
That's
quick and then we'll move forward.
Right.
But everybody said, oh, this is good.
Right.
This is good.
And now we all, you know, it's become the standard way because of efficiency.
There was some comfort knowing that the answer is in front of you. You know, like of those three or four answers, the correct answer
the right
is,
one
there,
is there.
But they just worded it where you outthink yourself and right. you just think yourself into a knot because it's like the answers are so similar.
Did you ever answer just based on design?
100%. Iowa basics, man. I wasn't a student, and I'm the first one to admit that. And especially, I'm not a good test taker at all.
Well, it's a skill. You know, it's a skill that just to take the test, and it doesn't measure, you know, knowledge necessarily that well. Yeah.
Is what it does measure. Patience. I mean, and just to be able to.
I look at my kids now and like how much standardized testing they do in grade school, you know, elementary school. And, you know, they'll take like days off of learning to take these tests.
And they're not that they're preparing for it, but having conversations the night before saying tomorrow and the next day are my blah, blah, blah tests.
Right.
And I've got to get ready for this and that. I'm like, I never thought about when it was Iowa Basics week. I think it was like a week or a few days that we took them.
What's Iowa Basics?
Kind of like a elementary school, like a, I guess, standardized test for, yeah.
Iowa Basics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've never heard of that. Now, yeah. Saunders County, Douglas County, Western Douglas, I don't
DC.
Know. Right.
yeah. So we didn't have prep or anything. We just took them and whatever.
Well, the teachers, you know, now they teach to the tests, right? So everything's about, you know, making the test scores better so that, you know, everybody looks better. And I understand why those motivations are there, but I just worry that are we missing the mark of what, you know, what school should be about?
Yeah, that's true. If they're teaching to the test,
right?
You're teaching because you know what the system is,
right?
So you know you've got to work the system,
right? And
if you don't play by the rules,
if you're teaching to the test, that test really better be an accurate way of preparing people for the world,
right?
And I don't know that we've
because like when you have algebra 1, 2, advanced, all this kind of stuff, you know, my son now he's very, very got the math brain, right? He wants to double up on math next year, his junior year, and take an algebra 2 and advanced this and that, and get out of the it's not called consumer math, but it's like the real life stuff, the balancing of checkbooks and the learning about interest rates and credit scores, and get out of that because that's not sexy. It's the trigonometry and all those that colleges look at, which it should be flipped around.
There should be absolutely a life skills class.
Yep.
That, I mean, you know, it, growing up, they called it home ec to a degree, which was a misnomer because it excluded boys. By and large, there were some boys that might cross the line.
I've never made a tank top since then. Just saying. I've never made a tank top. I've never sewed anything. I maybe have made a bundt cake, but it was a box cake, never by scratch. But yeah, it's just like they blanket with all this stuff that you don't really need to know.
Yeah.
Well, my daughter did just take a personal finance class.
That's great.
In high school. And it was fantastic. I mean, I thought the curriculum was very realistic, and mm-hmm. I think she got a lot out of it. It's the first time she's ever understood what a bank statement is and checking account and things like that. So, you know, there is some of it, but I don't know whether that was required or whether that was something she took as an elective. I actually don't know. But
okay,
but
so then
it was available.
Then when you have kids that are growing up, because your daughter and my son are the same age.
Okay.
And he just got a checking account last week.
Right.
Got himself a jizzob, right? So he's getting the direct deposits. And when we're sitting there at Pinnacle Bank and we're talking about the stuff, and they're saying, okay, for an extra $5, you can get paper statements. And he looks at me and says, what's a statement? And I felt like such a like, but I've never talked. He's never seen me because I've never gotten a paper statement.
Well, you have, but just not the last along, 15 years or 10 years.
25 years.
Whatever.
I know, ever since you could get digital statements, I've never got, because I never sat down with paper and did it myself. I never did.
Right. Balance your checkbook.
Ever.
Even when you did get paper statements, it didn't matter.
I always was online and I looked at it online to make sure stuff was current. I never, ever balanced the paper checkbook.
Yeah. Well,
I never did.
For me, the paper was just a reminder that I needed to get online. That's how I used the paper. The paper would come like, oh, I got to get online.
100%. Mm-hmm. I check my bank. I check that almost every day. Just to see where things are and what's going on. Because I want to know. But I hate the whole idea of I've never really, like, balancing your checkbook. I remember balancing a checkbook.
Mm-hmm. I remember watching my mom do it, but I never
In late 80s, early 90s. Absolutely.
I never
was balancing a checkbook.
I was 12.
You were not. You graduated high school in the early 90s.
92.
Okay. Oh, my God. Anyway, whatever.
That's really nice. That counts as early 90s.
That's way early 90s.
You didn't have a checking account then, did you?
It's almost 80.
No. That's why I didn't balance one. I didn't have a checking account.
There we go. And there's the answer. Okay. So you both have 16-year-olds driving?
Yeah, driving.
We'll be driving June 28th.
You ready to go? How'd that work?
You know what? It's been great.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's very, very cautious and careful.
Did she want to drive?
she wanted to drive. You know, so many of her friends don't. It's so interesting.
Crazy, right?
Like for me, I started lining up the DMV like 2 weeks before my birthday.
Right.
Like I was ready to go, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of these kids now, you know, they just aren't as interested in it for whatever reason. And so, you know, some of her friends just are, you know, don't get their license for a few months after their birthday. It's kind of interesting.
That's crazy.
President Kennedy was shot on my dad's 16th birthday. So he had to wait 3 days after because everything was shut down.
Yeah.
He was disappointed. And I mean, he was upset. When you're 16, man, you can't get your license. Everybody else is crying because the president, he's crying because he can't get his license.
Wow.
It was rough. Yeah. Okay. So in car insurance now, we're dealing with this with the 16-year-old and the car insurance.
Yes.
Okay. So when the kid's 16, it really can't have a vehicle in their name.
Right.
So you put the kid on your insurance, but do they have to be like the primary driver of a car? And this is super boring for everybody else. Who's a 16-year-old. Do they have to be the primary driver of a specific car? Can you just add them to it? Right. Can you just add them to the blanket? I just don't want to pay $1,000 a month for a 16-year-old driver.
Okay, so now we're getting into an area which I have no expertise, but I can pretend like I do.
That's
is that fair?
Okay, you're a dad.
Welcome.
So, yeah. So my understanding is that the primary car that they drive has a big impact on their insurance rates.
Okay.
You know, if you put them in a really fast-moving sports car,
red car,
yeah, with whatever, and they actually look at, you know, what the car is capable of doing, that can affect the rates quite a bit. So we got her a car to drive that's quite slow, and
put a governor on it.
Doesn't have a governor. It's just not a fast car.
Okay.
And she doesn't care. That's not on her list of features that she even cares about.
Not a go-to. Good.
The only thing she cared about was she wanted to be able to stream music from her phone.
Fair
enough.
That's
the only thing. We can figure
and
that
out. That's pretty easy to get nowadays.
You bet.
But, you know, my understanding is that does have a big effect, is which car is their primary car.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And my son knows nothing about vehicles. Obviously, I'm not a good role model because I know nothing about cars. It's not like one of my things that I know everything about cars and the engines and the hemp, whatever. My wife Beth was asking him what kind of car he wanted, just in general. And he just said a long one.
A long one?
There you go.
I don't even know what that, he doesn't know because a long one like dad's. I have a Passat. So it's not a long car. So I don't know
what he
means.
He wants a four-door.
Like a 78 Oldsmobile.
A sedan?
If that's what he wanted, that'd be sweet.
He wants a sedan.
I don't
know. Give him a Crown Vic.
She's like, you should be ashamed of yourself. A long one. She was saying that to me, not him.
I bet so.
Like, I don't know what.
What have you taught this boy?
Nothing.
Get him one of those Buick station wagons we used to ride in the back of.
The wood panel?
Yeah.
Heck, I would love that.
Family truckster.
And insurance might be happy about that because they're pretty solid.
And kids nowadays don't. It seems like at least the kind of the quirkier, funkier the car is, it's kind of cooler. So maybe that would be cool.
Yeah.
Maybe that'd be the way to go.
Yeah.
Something a little more not historic. What's the word I'm looking for? Retro.
Retro.
Retro. That's the word I was looking for. Retro. Something a little more retro. That's cool. Retro is cool. Oh my gosh. All right. So I don't even know what else we need to cover here.
Well, we've covered pretty much everything from car insurance to yelling parents at tennis. We're just glad that you guys for supporting our podcast.
Oh yeah.
Exactly. And we've talked about the fact before. You guys are hometown boys.
Yeah.
Both you guys, Husker, Creighton fans, cover everybody.
Yeah, we have a wide, you know, wide range of, you know, interests and people that I think that we really enjoy helping. And it's certainly a focus on local and focus on Omaha. We really try to be part of the community, you know, not just from what we're doing professionally, but just really engaging in the community is really important to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we're trying to do.
That's excellent. I am so happy and was thrilled to be working with you guys and that you guys supported our podcast. I try to keep Pat online so he doesn't say anything offensive.
We tried a new tagline. I don't know if they told you about this. Was it a couple weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
Go to Kugler Vision before you die.
That's great. That's brilliant.
I mean, it cuts right through. You can have it for free. Cuts right through.
That's brilliant. It captures everything.
Right.
Yeah.
It does.
Right.
Don't miss your opportunity.
Right. Don't miss your opportunity.
Well, it's kind of funny because people do, you know, people think they're either too young or they think they're too old for what we're doing. That's a common thing that we hear both sides of it. And that's actually not true. I mean, there is no age restriction on, you know, what we can do to help people. Now, there may be certain things that we can't do at certain ages, or they're, you know, certainly the options mm-hmm. that we present are different at every age. You know, we have seven different ways that we fix vision. You know, everyone's heard of LASIK, but there's six other ways.
See, that's the kind of stuff that yeah. people don't realize. And we were talking too about, because Pat's had the procedure done, mm-hmm. but his eyes have changed. And one time somebody had mentioned something about it wearing off. And it's like, well, it doesn't wear off. Your eyes are just constantly changing.
Yeah. So the fact that you graduated in 92, I mean, I can figure out how old you are. And so you're getting into your 40s where, you know, your lens inside the eye has trouble seeing up close. It has trouble changing focus. And that's got nothing to do with LASIK mm-hmm. wearing off. That's just because we're in our 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And so these changes happen throughout stages. And so what we try to do for people, and you saw this when you were in to see us, is we really try to kind of plot out for you what the next 30, 40 years looks like.
Right.
Because it's not just, oh, I'm going to go in and have my eyes fixed now. It's mm-hmm. okay, well, what about in 10 years and 20 years and 30 years? And what we're always thinking about is whatever we're going to do now, we want to set you up for the next stage so that it's mm-hmm. just as successful as the first one.
Yeah. Right.
You know, so it's awesome. A big picture approach.
It's highly educational to go through all the testing, because it's not just about what you can see. It's about a lot more than just your sight. It's about just the total eye health.
Yeah.
Because you don't think about it. It's like, man, something goes wrong. It's your eyes.
Yeah.
Well, the first step is the ocular analysis, the eye analysis that we do. And you went through that. And
yes.
I mean, it's sort of like getting an MRI of the eye. I mean, we can look at everything now.
It's amazing.
We have a really good idea of what your vision is and what you're capable of now, and also what the future looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And so we always have to plot that out. You know, because sometimes someone will come in and we'll say, you know what, we could do something like LASIK now, but that's going to cause a problem for you in 5 or 6 or 10 years because of whatever reason that we see. So we don't, even though you'd be fine for 5, 10 years, we don't recommend it now. And mm-hmm. so we're thinking ahead, you know, in that situation. And we might say, you know what, you're better off not doing anything now.
Yeah.
Let's talk in 10 years. So that we do have that conversation on a pretty high percentage basis. So, you know, it's just real important to have that initial, you know, eye analysis so that you can really figure out what the options are
mm-hmm.
and what the future looks like.
That's cool. What
I'm saying. Well, I'm going to figure out what my options are on Thursday. I'm excited to get in and see everybody.
Yeah. No, we're looking forward to it.
That'll be great.
Well, thanks.
Dr. Kugler, thank you for coming in.
Yeah, this is a lot of fun.
Yeah, anytime great. You want, yeah. just come
Absolutely.
On in.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, more, what did we have at the top of the talk? Oh, yeah, it was fetish videos. That's right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's important. Yeah. It's important. It's important to start with that.
Yeah. It's Pat and JT on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, 402-403-9478. Thanks for listening to our podcast.
Pat and JT Podcast, a Parkville Media production.